Welcome to today's message from Reach Community Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word. And now for today's message.
Well, good morning. My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here. And we're starting a brand new series today called Living Jesus is Greater. It's a phrase that you are going to hear a lot over this next year and probably a lot over the existence of Reach in the future. It is something that you will probably see on a t-shirt soon because we're going to do our volunteer shirt. So a great way to get a free t-shirt from Reach Community Church is serve with Reach Community Church. I can't help it. I'm sorry. But this phrase, really, honestly, if you got it and you lived it, it would change your life. All of our issues, and I've said this a couple times already, all of our issues, all of your issues, whether it be your marriage issues, your life issues, your addiction issues, all of your issues would change if Jesus was greater. And the reasons why they're not changing, I hate to simplify things, is because Jesus isn't greater. And we make these choices over and over again. And I wanted to start off this, really getting to the one thing that ultimately is going to change that, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So do you want to be better in 2022? And, you know, if you don't raise your hand, don't shake your head, don't elbow the person beside you. Like, they need to get better. The question is, do you have the ability to get better? And then if you had the ability now in 2022, what happened in 2021? What happened in 2020? What happened in 2019? What happened up until this point? And the truth is, and I hate to crush anybody's dreams of rising out of the ashes all by yourself and becoming the great thing that God has created you to be, is you can't do it. If you could do it, there would have been no crucifixion. There would be no need for Jesus to enter our world and become God with us. And so if that's going to change, we have to do something different. We have to trust in what he's going to do. And in January, whether you believe it or not, I watched this video of this guy, and he was just ranting about New Year's, how it's a dumb holiday, because really, what changed? Did anything change from Friday to Saturday? No, a calendar date clicked over and we, you know, I drove early morning Saturday to go work out with my workout group and there was a bunch of cars parked on the side of the road. Wonder why that happened. Because they're celebrating the changing of the year so much so that they parked on the side of the road and just left their car there overnight. And have a $10,000 bill as they go to court real soon. But we're celebrating something that really, you know, it's just another day. But I'm going to capitalize on our brain's thought that there is hope in this next year. There, you know, 2021 is gone, and we've had one dumpster fire after another. And I have, you know, honestly, there's no promise for 2022. And I mean, the song that we sang to before, Come Hell or High Water. Like, let me just tell you, if you're here because you think Jesus will make your life easy, you've been lied to. I mean, to be completely honest, and we'll see a text that Paul uses in 2 Timothy that will clarify that all those that pursue God will face persecution. If you decide to live Jesus is greater, you're not going to get on the easy street of life not being complicated. To be completely honest, and this isn't to terrify those that are like doing real good right now, but if you press in, you'll probably get on the enemy's radar. If you're not doing anything for God and you're coasting by, just banking on that ticket to get you into heaven for that one prayer that you prayed however many years ago, I mean, what obstacle are you to Satan? But if today you decide, hey, I want my life to be different, I'm going to live Jesus greater, I want to pre-warn you, the obstacles will come. And you should almost look at those as like, okay, I'm heading in the right direction. Not, oh man, why does God not love me? And I think sometimes we miss what God's trying to do, because let me just tell you, and I said this a lot in 2021, is your greatest opportunity for growth is suffering. And let us be believers that have hope as much in the suffering as we do in the easy times. Let me just tell you, easy times are probably the most dangerous for you because we get comfortable and we get complacent and we coast. And God's not made you to coast. God has made you to be more than a conqueror. So we're going to start today with the Word, because let me just tell you, there's no living Jesus is greater without the Word of God. You cannot be trusted if you're not living in the Word of God, because we'll revert to our wisdom, which our own history, if we're going to be real honest with ourselves, would prove that we're not very good at advising ourselves. And if you're not old enough to know that, find somebody with gray hair in this room and they'll let you know that our own wisdom, though we think it's going to be different and we're going to conquer this, when we lean on ourselves, we're going to get in trouble. Because to be completely honest, we are a cocky, arrogant people, especially when we're doing good. And what God's called us to be is humble. Like, go back to the Beatitudes that we spent 8 weeks on. Humility is the marker of those who are Jesus's. Period. So before we get into 2 Timothy, I'm going to pray, because to be honest, I'm a preacher, and guilt is something I do, but guilt isn't going to change your life. Let me just pre-warn you. My whole point today is that you better get in the Word of God. If you want something different in 2022, if the Word of God isn't part of that, then nothing's going to change. Nothing. I mean, I'm just going to tell you the end of the story today. That's where I'm going, and if you leave here going, we'll see what happens, we'll see you in 2023. But the same, I could have done better. But if you want to live Jesus is greater, the Word has to be central to that, which we'll see today in 2 Timothy. But before we do that, we want to ask the Holy Spirit to move in us. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't move in us, if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict us, Heath's conviction will not last. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know right now, because two or three are gathered or in this room, you're here. And so we ask, Lord, I ask as the leader of this church that you would come and you would press on our heart our need, our desperation for your Word to be in us, to your Word change us, so that we can be the men and women that you've designed us to be, that you've created us to be, so that we can walk into the things that you prepared in advance for us to walk into. But we need your Word. And so, Lord, today, as we read your Word, I pray that not my conviction, but that your conviction, and not even a conviction, your love song calling us to you would be elevated. And we would today commit to being in your Word every day, because your Word changes us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in the second letter to Timothy. Timothy is one of Paul's disciples, a young man that Paul is writing a letter to from prison. Honestly, and I've said this a lot in the last 9 years of Reach, we would not have most of Paul's writings if he wasn't arrested. Wouldn't, because that man was on mission and he wasn't going to stop preaching the Word and doing anything to write down something. But like, when you're in prison and you can't go from church to church, you can't go, whatever, he didn't stop. And this letter was written to Timothy with the understanding that Paul's probably not getting out this time. Paul's probably not, and he's not leaving prison, and he isn't giving up. He isn't stopping, and he's writing this letter of encouragement to Timothy because he wants Timothy to bring come and visit him. He wants Timothy to come to jail. He wants Timothy to bring some of his papers. He wants him to bring his jacket so he doesn't freeze in prison. He wants him to come. But before he comes, he gives Paul, Timothy instructions. Because right before the verses that we're getting in today, we're told that there's a bunch of wolves that have kind of creeped in there. There's a bunch of people that are preaching things outside of the gospel. There's lots of people that are coming in and try to disrupt the church and ruin the church and remove the power of the church. And Paul's writing to Timothy to deal with that before he comes. And Paul gives some encouragement, and then he tells Timothy what the word does, which is what we're going to talk about in 16 and 17 in a little bit of detail. But honestly, I want to prepare you for next week. So the last part of what I'm going to tell you today is that we're approaching 21 days of prayer and fasting. And if that terrifies you, that's okay. You know, we're not going to make you not eat for 21 days unless you choose to. But I want to have a little bit of time at the end to allow your brain to kind of grasp what we want to ask you to do starting next Sunday. So we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 17. So Paul's kind of laying the groundwork of why Timothy should trust the Word, why Timothy should be in the Word, and he's going to do that starting with what Timothy has seen in his mentor, Paul. Starts in verse 10. It says, "You, however," because he's saying that leading out of what these other wicked people have done to the church. "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you stand, or if you walk a righteous life," and that literally just means in right standing with God, "it's going to confront people that you're around, because your life is going to be different than others, and that difference is going to lead a little bit of conviction on their part because they're doing something they shouldn't. And some of the anger that we receive really isn't directed at us. It's directed at themselves, but they don't want to be mad at themselves and yell at themselves for doing the dumb things that they do, so they get angry at you because you're bringing awareness to them." Verse 13, it says, "Why evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's happening. People, we wonder, I think sometimes we think our culture is the worst, and that, like, oh man, if it was different, like, the culture that Paul's writing in right now is just as worse. They're just as sexually immoral, they're just as ungodly, probably even more so. And he's still choosing to live in a way that reflects Jesus. Verse 14, it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it." He learned it from his mom and his grandmother that taught the word to him. He knew the word because of their life and dedication to it. Verse 15, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." We cannot worship and follow someone that we don't know. And to be completely honest, a lot of the American church and a lot of potentially us in this room are following an ideal and not the reality of Jesus. We're following an idea. And I spent the first 18 years of my life, I grew up here in the South, went to church and Sunday school and youth group and knew information, but I didn't know Jesus. Like, I had this, like, kind of flannel board view of Jesus. I didn't have the down and dirty reality of what Jesus is actually asking me to do. I thought, you know, if we knew about Jesus, that we would get all the things that he promised, knew about, which is the big thing. He calls us to know him, to follow him, to be his. Verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Listen to this in verse 17. And we'll think I'll say the opposite of it so that we'll understand what he's saying here. In verse 7, it says, the man of God, so that righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So if we're not in the Word, if we're not allowing the Word to do these four things to us, then we're not complete, and we won't be equipped to do the work that God's called us to do, period. If we're not in the Word of God, we cannot be the people that we want to be, because we'll trust in us. We'll pull our wisdoms. We won't go to Psalms and Proverbs for wisdom. We'll go to the Proverbs of Heath Cadell. We'll go to the Proverbs of fill in your name and like out of your wisdom. And let me just tell you, it doesn't lead you anywhere that will be profitable to you in the end. It may be a better spot than you are right now, but that's not where God's calling you to be. And so what I want to do is I want to spend a few minutes on each of these and talk about what that means. So the first one is teaching. The truths of the Bible are God's ultimate standard. You have to know them to even think about living them. We can't live Jesus is greater unless we know that Jesus is greater. And the only way that we know that Jesus is greater is in his word. And so here's a question for you. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to elbow anybody. Are you in the word? And this is not guilt. This is not shame. Because the beauty of the gospel is that today, you can change what you didn't like about yesterday. The beauty of the gospel is that there's hope that you can do that, and in doing that, you'll change who you are. Do you study the word? I think some of our dangers, and I don't want you to hear this at the end when I tell you about certain reading plans that I'm going to suggest that you commit to, partly because I want you to be in the habit of, and I know that we as people struggle when we don't have a plan. And so not that you have to, you may get excited about a book of the Bible and you may spend a month or 2 months on one book of the Bible. But if you don't have a plan when you're not in that, whatever, you'll wake up in the morning and be like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to read. And we have to get in this place that the Bible is teaching us what that standard is, because when we have a vague view of what the Bible is calling us to do, we'll do it versus what the Word is actually calling us. And the struggle is there. And the truth is that if we're not in the Word of God, our struggle is going to stay the way it is. It's not going to change. The Bible is what changes us. Because not only does it teach us these truths, and listen to this in John 8, 31. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you're not abiding in his word, what does that make you? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're not abiding in his word, you won't know the truth, and there will be no freedom. Most of our imprisonment right now in our own sin is because we're not allowing that truth to abide in us. And we've got to let it come in. Look at this in Ephesians 4:11. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teacher to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And this may ruin your view of church, okay? So if you grew up in a church where the senior leader or the lead pastor, he was responsible for doing everything, discipling, training, teaching. Because in the South, that's kind of the way we view it. We view it as we're consumers that come in, and this one, you know, highly equipped person is to make us perfect. Well, I love Ephesians because it is their job to equip the saints. And okay, if you don't know this, if you're a child of God or you're a disciple of God, you're considered a saint of God. And God has called you to do certain things. We as a body of Christ won't function at the capacity that God's called us to unless the people, the cogs in this machine that is the gospel, are doing the part that you are made to do. If you picture a watch, it has all these little cogs that are spinning. If you remove one of those, it doesn't function correctly. And I believe there's people in this room that God has called and equipped you to do certain things, that you have certain skills, talents, and ability that the body of God needs. And until you step into that, we're going to be absent. But look at this, look at this. Equip the saints to do the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ until we obtain the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, let you in on a little secret. No one in this room, lead, pastor, or elders, are there. None of us here, and I don't think anyone you'll ever meet is going to be at that place. There may be more mature than you, but they're not complete. They're not at that place that they are harnessing the fullness of God. We need to be striving in that direction, and hopefully from year to year, we should be changing and getting better, but we're all in the way of working that process out. Verse 14, it says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves that are carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, into the deceitful schemes. Let me just tell you, if you're on social media and YouTube and all these other things where who knows where they got their skill, who knows where they got their knowledge, who knows where they got their training, and you listen to the things that are out there without the understanding of what the truth is, your ears will be tickled and you'll be pulled off in this direction that is very dangerous to you. And I mean, I'm going to get on it, because when you're talking prayer and fasting, I think the most valuable thing that you can do during our 21 days is cut off social media. And I'm going to, like, if I, whatever about it, you quitting sugar, Daniel fasting, or all these other things, I think the most healthy thing that all of us could do is to say no for 21 days. To Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all these other little, there's probably a lot, Snapchat, all these other platforms that I don't know. But if we just silenced all these other voices and let the one voice have opportunity and bandwidth to speak to us, it'll change our lives. Sorry, I'm getting to the end. But if you don't want to be tossed back and forth, you have to understand. Now, here's one that we're not going to like. So teaching, we're kind of like, not many people hate teaching. You're like, oh, yeah, we need teaching. Reproof? Who likes? And we're like, what? Reproof? It's not a word like, I reprove you. Like, go today, use the word reproof in a sentence correctly. But it's kind of this idea of rebuking. It is acknowledging, hey, this isn't right. So reproof is the process by which we are compared to the standard that we looked at in the teaching and in some way found lacking. It's painful. I've been rebuked. I'm typically not the nicest person, and not necessarily in this way, but my wife, which God has given me, has a way to see things that I don't see, and she has a way, and she's usually really nice about it. And regardless of how nice she is about it, like, I usually don't do well. She's like, oh, you should, blah, blah, blah. I mean, men in the room? But she's right. I think I'm mostly angry because I know that she's right. I know. Every truth is a measuring stick to which we compare our thoughts, desires, words, choices, motivations, relationships, worship, and hopes. This is what the Bible does to us. As we read it, as we're in it, it puts us in front of it. We get to look at the word in our face and go, I need to work here. Because reproof is one thing. So just knowing, hey, I need to change this, isn't enough. You know, if you let wisdom and the reproof hit you and you do nothing with that, like, yeah, I should change that. Yep, acknowledged. The next thing is what moves in that direction, correction. So reproof is the acknowledgement of the thing that we should be doing differently. Correction is the process where what has been revealed to be wrong or lacking is brought closer to the standard. Meaning like we're reproved of this action, this thing that we shouldn't be doing. We know that we shouldn't be doing it. Half the things that we're struggling with right now, it's not even that we're lying to ourselves that it's okay. We're not going, well, there's no big deal about this. We know we shouldn't be doing it, but we don't want to do the correction part, which is moving away from the behavior, the action, the thing. And this is correction, literally, is this process of progressive sanctification. So when you meet Jesus, which you could do today, and acknowledge that you're a sinner and you have no capacity to save yourself, but you trust and believe in the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, and you trust in that, you put your faith in that, you are justified in that moment. Meaning you are made right with God, but this sanctification is this process of you walking into the fullness, which we heard about in Ephesians. The fullness of who Christ is. It's you becoming more and more like Christ. But if you're not in the Word, you won't hear the reproof. You definitely won't move toward correction, and you won't do the last thing, which is training. Faithfully putting God's standard into practice. And let me just tell you, this is work, and you're going to fail at it. And most of us won't get to where God wants us to be because we will fail, and we'll be upset about our failure, and we won't move forward. And let me just tell you, saints are just sinners who get back up. I'm going to pre-warn you. It's just like any diet or any fitness routine or all these things that you think you're going to do this. If you think that it's going to go perfectly, you have failed already. Because when it doesn't go perfectly, you're like, look, I shouldn't be doing it. It doesn't work. I'm not smarter. I can't, blah, blah, blah. You fill in the blank. I want to tell you that God, if you'll faithfully move in this direction, will change you. But you have to do the training part is you deciding to move in that standard. It's you deciding. That's partly what our 21 days of prayer and fasting is. It's to give you enough clarity away from things, you know, even if you choose to cut out certain things from your life food-wise. The only reason we're doing those things, and this is dangerous, and if you have weight issues that you think, oh, this will be good, I'm going to get on that scale every day, and then you'll be driven to not do the thing that you don't want to do because of what the scale tells you, I would tell you to put up a scale for those 21 days. Because that's not why, you know, if you decide to give up sugar or you decide to give up, do the Daniel fast, the reason why you're doing that is to shock your system. You've been used to doing the same things over and over again. You've been used to doing it in a certain way. And when you do it differently, if you'll have the mentality that the reason why I'm doing it is to draw me nearer to God, then every time you go, oh, I'm not going to put sugar in my coffee. Or when, let me just tell you, if you've never cut sugar out of your diet, like, it is a drug, people. I mean, if you think, oh, I don't have a sugar issue, cut sugar out of your life for 3 days. And we'll see. We'll see how strong you are. We'll see how diligent you are. Sugar is powerful. Like, it's almost as scary as Facebook, but I haven't said no to sugar yet. See, this calls us to handle the truths of Scripture in a way that result in a constant power pattern of personal self-examination, which is trouble. Most of us are afraid of this because we are aware of how many things God wants to change in us. And all I'm going to ask you to do is just make one thing. Because if you can change one thing, you have the capacity to change another. If I were to open up or pull back the curtain of everything that God wants to do in you between now and the day you go to meet him, you would be terrified and would want to quit because you're like, I could never do all those things, including me. But all God is asking you to do is to do one thing. And then when you do that one thing, and it's progressive, if you do one thing and succeed at it, and that's why I'm going to really recommend as we're going into this to start with something that you can accomplish. Like if you've not been a Bible reader, like trying to spend an hour in the Word is probably not going to be a goal that's accomplishable to begin with. You probably need to start with 5 minutes or 10 minutes and then work. I'm going to tell you, when you get excited about something, when the Bible starts encouraging you and speaking to you, you'll want more of it. It's like that, you know, that little piece of pie that you just have a little bit of it. And you're like, I want another piece of pie. You know, the Bible won't do what sugar will do to you. And self-examination leads to honest and humble confession, which produces a commitment to repentance, resulting in a life of increasing spiritual maturity and joyful obedience. Every issue in your life, and we're trying to simplify the reason why Reach exists and why we're here. And the simplest thing is we exist and we're here to help you make Jesus greater, which is an ongoing process that we will be at the rest of our lives. So there's two reading plans that I'm going to recommend. You don't have to do these. You can go on your Bible app, lifechurch.tv. Made a free Bible app. It's if you type in Bible in your app store on either one, it is the top rated. It's the top one, and people have tried to buy it for millions of dollars, and they won't. They do all these things for free. You can download different versions of Bible. Basically, any version of the Bible that you want to read is in there. Two plans that I recommend, mostly because when I'm not doing a series, I'm going to preach out of what I'm reading in my devotional. And so if you're reading that with me, and both of them in the New Testament they'll coincide with each other. So if you're reading one or the other in the New Testament, when I'm preaching out of that, which I love to do because I think if you'll get in the habit of going, hey, you know, there's something in the Word that I'm trying to get out, and then you come on Sunday and you hear me dig some things that we looked at this week or you looked at this week. So the two plans that I would recommend, one is the one-year Bible. And it literally is called the one-year Bible. If you start today, you will finish the day after New Year. You'll finish on the 2nd. 365 days, you'll read two chapters of the Old Testament a day, starting in Genesis. You'll have about a chapter to half of a chapter of the New Testament, starting in Matthew, and you'll progressively go through both of those. So you'll have a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, and you'll have a psalm and proverb every day. Like a little bit of Psalms, a little bit of Proverbs. And in a year, you'll read the entire New Testament, the entire Old Testament, and I think Psalms twice and Proverbs 3 or 4 times. It's something that previous to this last year, we've done for years here at the church. So you can Google it. You can go on their website. My wife doesn't like the app, so I print it out. Like literally, you can go on their site, and there's a PDF of all of those. And you can print it out, and if you wanted to check it on your piece of paper but read it in your actual Bible and not on your device, then you can do that. So I highly recommend. The other one is called Read Through the New Testament in a Year. And if you look at the little picture on it when you're in the app, it looks like you're looking up into trees. And there, it's mostly orange and brown trees. That's what the image is. But if you literally say read through the Bible, or read through the New Testament, I think it's the top one that comes up in their reading plan. So I recommend one of those two. You don't have to do that. There is no judgment if you decide to do something else. But what I'm going to ask you to do is decide to get in the Word of God. Because we, as a church, cannot do what we are called to do without you being in the Word. We cannot. You will never get enough in the 35 to 40 minutes that I give you on Sunday morning to be enough for you. Just like, and I say this all the time, you would not go to a buffet after today and eat to your full and then not eat again until next Sunday. Your body, like it craves food, it needs the Word of God to grow and to mature. So I'm going to recommend one of those. And another statement that you'll hear a lot of during this series specifically, and one that I'd recommend that you write down and maybe keep with your devotional material or have somewhere, it's a question that I want us to ask in the morning. How can I make Jesus greater today? I want you to think about it. Because if we're not thinking about how can I make Jesus greater today in my life, we'll just move through our life and at the end of the day, or move through our day, and at the end of the day, we'll be like, did we do it? Did we not do it? So ask the question, and it's a great time to ask that as you're reading the Word of God, because I believe that God will bring to your attention things that He wants to make greater in your day. So I'm going to give, 2 minutes. I'm going to actually ask our worship team to come back up. And let me just, and I've kind of loosely talked about it. So for the 9 years of our church, we've done 21 days of prayer and fasting. It will start on the 9th, which is next Sunday, and it'll go for 21 days. So 3 Sundays, or 4 Sundays, 3 weeks. And what we're asking you to do is to decide this week. So you have until Sunday to decide what you're going to do, is decide what you're going to do during that 21 days. And all I'm going to ask you to do is to do something that's different than what you're already doing. You've already heard, I would prefer that you would shut down your social media for 21 days. I think if you took 21 days off of social media, you'd be like, oh, why is life so much better? Like, why I'm not worried or aggravated or want to punch somebody in the face? So I'm going to recommend social media. Like, it could be for you, maybe social media is an issue, but you just spend a lot of time on the TV. Like, what I would like out of these 21 days is you'd begin to pull things out of your life that aren't giving you life. Okay, I just said that, and I feel like some spouses just looked at their significant other. I'm not talking about your people in your life. I'm talking about the things in your life, like TV, social media. Now, if you choose to do some sort of fasting, if you've never done fasting before, I would recommend, and I'll have some resources next week, but you can Google all different types of fast. If you've never done fasting before, I do not recommend you doing 21 days of just water. Difficult. I have one time in my life had I did a liquid fast for 21 days, it was great. It was probably the greatest 21 days of my life. But I've also attempted other fasts because I felt like I needed some change, and it was a me fast and not a God fast, and it was bad. Bad. So I recommend doing some research. It could be that you just isolate things out of your diet. And the point is not to be more healthy, which we should all be more healthy. The point is for you to think all day long, because if you cut sugar out, you cut bread out, when everybody else is eating bread, and you're like, I'm doing this for you, Jesus. That's why we want these 21 days. We want you to think, like, I want to, it will make you conscious of it, which hopefully makes you conscious of Jesus all day long, which is what we want. Because typically, changing habits takes about 21 days. And so for 21 days, you can begin to change bad habits and add new ones, like getting in the Word, it'll change you. And so the last thing before I close, if you're new into the Word, or you just feel like, man, you're like, you feel super convicted right now that this is something that you really want to do, my best advice is decide what you're going to do. What's your plan? What are you going to read? And this is going to be difficult. Is once you decide, invite somebody into it. Like my reading plan, which I started yesterday, I finished my one yesterday, started my new one yesterday, and it's public. So like all the people that are friends with me on the Bible app, I feel like if I don't read for 2 days, they're like, oh, Pastor, read. Like, so there is, I mean, you can make it where it's a private and people don't see whatever, but my recommendation is invite one other person to that. And just say, hey, I feel convicted that I want the Word to be a bigger part of my life, and here's what I'm doing. Do you feel like you want to move in that direction, and can we hold each other accountable? And it could be that you just text, like Alan and I, almost every day text, like as we're reading, if there's a verse that stands out, we'll text each other a verse. And it could be just that. It could be just like, I want you to, acknowledge that I'm in this Word too. Because you, like all of the other challenges that you want to do, will do so much better with accountability, which is what we saw in 2 Timothy. We're allowing the Word to hold us accountable. What I would recommend is having a friend to hold you accountable as you read the Word. It'll change you. So I've gone way long, and I'm going to pray for us. And as we worship, as the Holy Spirit, I hope, was going, yes, I need a change in my life. The best time to make a commitment for change is right now. the best time to acknowledge I want something different is right now. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to know what you're going to do before you leave here. But in this last song of just acknowledging, God, I'm going to get in your word. Like today, I'm making a decision. Today, I'm going to call my buddy and we're going to do this. It'll change you. Jesus is greater. You living that will change your life. And the beauty of it is not only will it change you, but it'll change our city, which is why we're here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's probably years of failures and years of not doing what we kind of felt like we should be doing. There could be lots of just reasons why we don't press in. Lord, I pray that you would free us from our past so that we can embrace our future. Lord, I pray that today those in this room that just feel like, man, I need your word. I am not in the word that I like I should be, and I want to change that. Lord, I pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, would make a catalyst for this actually coming to be. And Lord, maybe right now as we're sitting here, we just need to, we're feeling the reproof, we're feeling this conviction. Lord, I pray that we would be softened enough, humbled enough to confess what needs to change in our life. That we would acknowledge, even as this song goes, Lord, that we would acknowledge this is the thing in my life that isn't right, that isn't good, and I want to lay it at your feet, and I want to move away from it. Lord, whether it be addiction, whether it be anger, whether it be all of the things that confront us. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just let these little things linger. But we would look to you for strength and power to move out of the things. Lord, your word says that there's freedom in you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lord, let us move out of the darkness and into the light. Lord, change needs to happen for us to experience you this year. And so, Lord, we just invite you. We invite you to be a part of us, part of our life. Lord, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit, well, not allow. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to hear what you're speaking, what you're whispering into our ear, that you would soften our hearts, be willing. And Lord, I thank you for the change that this will bring. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, be sure to visit us online at reachcommunitychurch.com.